Welcome to the Introvert Dear Podcast, the show devoted to helping introverts live more peaceful, meaningful lives. We are here to remind you that you don't have to be an extrovert to be happy. Now, here are your hosts, Jen Graneman and Bo Miller.
Quiet, thoughtful, focused, insightful. These are a few words that describe a writer, and they're words that also capture many introverts quite well. It's no surprise, then, that a lot of writers are introverts. If you've ever thought about writing professionally or writing on the side, we encourage you to join us for today's conversation as we explore why introverts make great writers. Hey, Jen, how are you doing?
I'm good, Beau. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm just fighting that cold. You know, it's that season.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm fighting some stuff on my end too. I hope the listeners don't mind any coughs or scratchy voices today.
Yeah, and I hope that if you're listening to this today, that you're feeling well. Maybe we can just absorb whatever's going around for you so that you don't have to deal with it personally.
I will try. I don't know that that's an introvert superpower of mine yet, but I'll work on that.
Sounds like a plan. So we're talking about writing today, Jen, which I'm excited about because you have a lot of writing experience.
Yeah, this is a topic near and dear to my heart. I'm pretty excited to talk about it too.
Right on. That was a little play on words there for you. I don't know if you like that. That's bad. That's bad. All right. I'll go to the question now. Why are many introverts drawn to writing in the first place?
So first, let me just start with a few disclaimers. The first one being that not all introverts are writers. I think we can all think of an introvert who doesn't write. And to be clear, not all writers are introverts. There are actually a lot of great extroverted literary greats out there, like Ernest Hemingway, Kurt Vonnegut, Mark Twain. They're all thought to have been extroverts. And when we talk about writing, we're not just talking about writing professionally, although we are going to get into that a little later on in the podcast. We'll talk about how you can make money as a writer and how to get started professionally if that's something you want to do. But when we talk about introverts being drawn to writing, it could be as simple as journaling or writing for fun or for self-expression. And I don't know about you, Bo, but I would even throw in sending an email or a text over calling someone on the phone or having an in-person meeting. That's like an introvert specialty.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you've added that because I think it gets passed over a lot of times, but just the thoughtfulness that goes into crafting a carefully worded email or a message, that's really an introvert strength a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely. So with all of that said, yes, anyone can write, introvert or extrovert. But personally, I think it takes a certain type of person to create those worlds inside their head, work in complete isolation for hours on end sometimes, and strive to get every word just right. Does that sound like an introvert?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
So if you're an introvert who loves writing, it might be in part because you get to work alone. I know that's something that really drew me to writing. There's no staff meetings. There's no small talk. There's no group brainstorming. There's no social burnout when you're writing, right? It's just you, your notebook or laptop, and whatever your inner world comes up with. It really doesn't get any more introverted than that.
Is there anything about the way introverts are wired that draws them to writing in addition to what you've already mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. So it has to do with how our brains are wired. We've all heard of Dr. Marty Olson Laney. She wrote The Introvert Advantage. And in her book, she talks about how introverts might rely more on long-term memory than short-term memory, whereas extroverts might do the opposite, right? So short-term memory is also called active memory, and it's like having things at the front of your brain almost. That's how it feels, or like having something on the tip of your tongue. Whereas long-term memory, that's like it sounds, where things are stored for a long time. So introverts might rely more on that long-term memory. And it's a little bit harder, she says, for introverts to put their thoughts into words on the spot, right? Like talking or doing that phone call or giving a speech, because they have to reach into their long-term memory and pull out the right words or the right information, right? But extroverts might have words kind of quote-unquote on the tip of their tongue because they rely more on short-term memory. And so it's a little easier. So writing uses different pathways in the brain, according to Laney. So that may be why those pathways in writing seems to flow more fluently for introverts.
Well, that's so interesting. And that makes a lot of sense. I think I remember you speaking about that or writing about that, I should say, in your book about introverts. Did you mention that topic as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I go into it in more detail in The Secret Lives of Introverts.
So if you haven't checked that out yet, I'd recommend looking into that resource. It's a great book. I was just thinking about my own public speaking experience. I honestly, Jen, always really enjoyed it, but it wasn't the extemporaneous stuff. It was when I had the time to pen what I was going to say, and I got to work on it in advance. And even the extemporaneous kind of speaking I enjoyed, but I would always piece together a rough outline of what I was going to say kind of quickly, but I'd have a plan. So I think that plays right into what you're describing about introverts.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, and I've had to do some speaking myself. I don't love it. I get nervous doing it, but I've been successful at it because I've taken a lot of time in advance writing down and thinking about what I want to say. Definitely, if you just threw me in front of a crowd and said, talk about XYZ topic, I would probably panic and cry.
Oh, yeah. And most people despise public speaking. It's like one of the top fears, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think that's why introverts are drawn to writing too. We get to have that time to put our thoughts down, to put them down exactly the way we want them. And it allows us to share our insights with others, which, you know, something we don't always get to do in casual conversation. I don't know about you, Bo, but the last time I was just having a casual conversation with someone, you know, all my thoughts about how I've reflected and changed on my life over the past year, or like what's out in outer space, or, you know, just kind of those things that I think about from time to time, they don't come out, right? But we get to have those insights and those bigger thoughts come out when we can write them down.
Yeah, so well said. I hate that social bottleneck that all the cool things you have to share, they just can't come out fast enough until you get in the car and you're driving home or after the meeting ends. And then everything you wanted to come out flows freely and you feel kind of silly. At least that's how I feel.
Yeah, that's how I feel too sometimes. And I would just add that a final reason why I think introverts are drawn to writing is I think a lot of us naturally see the world in terms of story and symbol, right? So when we use writing as a tool, we're able to connect those dots and lay down those patterns for others. And that's not something we can do when we're just talking or if we're thrown up in front of a crowd.
Very cool. Well, you mentioned at the start of the show some extroverted writers. So now I'm going to ask you to turn the tables. And can you name some well-known introvert writers?
Yeah, there are so many introverted writers. I had a hard time picking some for this podcast, but I'll throw some out there. There are so many more. Of course, we all know J.K. Rowling, right?
And oh,
she's
absolutely
a self-professed introvert. There's also John Green. He wrote The Fault in Our Stars. He's also a self-professed introvert. And then some others, Agatha Christie, Charlotte Bronte, Edgar Allan Poe. You know, we all know him for his dark writing. I feel like
yep.
That kind of brooding moodiness, you know, that comes through an introverted soul.
The telltale heart, that's yes. Kind of a creepy one. It's interesting, but it's a bit creepy.
It's definitely a bit creepy. William Shakespeare. Homer, you know, not Homer Simpson, but the writer.
Right.
Jane Austen, C.S. Lewis, George R.R. Martin, who did Game of Thrones, Anne Rand, and the list could go on and on.
Of that list, do you have a favorite, Jen?
Oh, well, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, so of that list, I'm going to have to pick George R.R. Martin.
Oh, very cool.
What about you?
Definitely C.S. Lewis all the way. I love his stuff. Even the kids' books, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I've read a lot of his other books. They were influential in my life, so I really appreciate him. So thinking about these famous writers, it's helpful just to get a picture of what they are doing. Is there any connection between them, Jen, aside from the things you've already talked about that you think makes them writers? Or is it the same stuff that you've kind of laid out for us already that drew them to writing too?
Well, I mean, I think there's a few reasons why introverts like them might make good writers. First, I think good writing is good thinking. And this might seem, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to step on some extrovert toes when I say this, but good writing is good thinking. And really, who thinks more than introverts?
Mm. Yeah, at least you know, in their heads, they do a lot of thinking that way.
Exactly, right. And that's not to say that extroverts don't think, but I think a lot of us introverts feel like we're often in our heads, sometimes even lost in those heads, as that stereotype suggests. But we do a lot of thinking and reflecting. And there's actually some science to back this up. So, for example, one study found that introverts reacted more strongly than extroverts to the sensory stimuli coming their way. They also expended more mental effort by analyzing that information more deeply and carefully. Extroverts, on the other hand, they were better at monitoring events around them and noticing changes in their surroundings. Which I would say, like, that's definitely true of the extroverts that I know. You know, like, someone can walk in the door and I might be totally oblivious.
But oh, yeah.
My extroverted friends are like, oh, so-and-so is here.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, oh, yeah, to you. I'm just saying I can relate to that as well, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of introverts would be able to relate to that. So, of course, both of these tendencies can be strengths in different situations, but it's no surprise that introverts get a little boost there, I would say, in the writing department, because you have to chew on something quite a bit before you can extract an insight or create something new.
Oh, yeah. And I think one of my favorite things about writing is that thinking process, you know, taking an idea and turning it over like a diamond in your hands and looking at all its different facets until you really understand it well and you can share something original.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know for introverts that can kind of sometimes go in the direction of overthinking, right? Like sometimes we feel trapped in that loop of overthinking where sure. we're just thinking about every single possibility and looking at something from every angle to the point where we feel paralyzed about making a decision. So, you know, sometimes that tendency can backfire on us a bit, but certainly when we're writing or creating, it can be really helpful to be able to have a lot of possibilities in your mind and to think on something for a very long time.
Yeah. And from what I've read, it's really a beautiful thing when the natural way your brain works serves you in what you're doing. I mean, that's the job that you really want, where you can just be yourself all day and use your natural way of thinking to serve your audience or do whatever kind of work you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like we said before, I think another reason that introverts can make really great writers is we're really comfortable with solitude. And you have to be okay with spending long periods of time alone to write the book or to write whatever you're writing. Extroverts might naturally reach for other people or external activities to relieve that boredom of being alone. But introverts often seek out being alone almost as a physical refuge, and it gives them time to spend that time in their own heads and then ultimately to write and create.
Oh, I love that. I have an extroverted friend who is a professor, but had also been working on a book, and we were talking and he was asking for some apps or suggestions for kind of limiting distractions, because I think he was looking for that stimulation. And I have to say that, I mean, that's true of me too. When I don't want to write, because I think we all have times in our lives when it's hard to write. It's really a discipline at times. But I didn't really feel it to the extent that he did. And like you're saying, I think it's kind of because of the way we're wired. It's easier to some extent to sit down and focus for long periods of time, because that's kind of what we were made to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm as guilty as anyone else is getting on my computer and going, oh, I'm going to check Facebook, or I'm going to click on that interesting article. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, I'm like, wait, what was I doing? I was supposed to be writing or working on something else. But yeah, I know a lot of extroverts I know feel that tug even more, you know, to be out of the house, to be talking with people. So yeah, I'd say that's definitely a point in the introvert's favor. Hmm.
And, you know, it can be a really bad habit to get into if you're like checking Facebook regularly or the sports page. I'm not saying that just for you, but I'm just thinking about habits. Habits are so important to your effectiveness in anything you do. And I think it applies to writing. So a question I have for you is, how important are good writing habits and what do they look like?
So I'm probably not the best person to ask about good writing habits.
No.
no, honestly.
Really?
I know. Like, a lot of other writers have like really special like routines that they go through. I don't. And you know, I've tried developing them over the years, but nothing's really stuck. But I will tell you about one that another writer I know used, and it was really successful for him.
Okay.
So he you know, he had a full-time job doing something else that wasn't writing, but he had an idea for a book and he wanted to get it done. So he was, you know, he got sick of always putting off, well, I'll write on the weekend, or, oh, I have that day off, so I'll write then. You know, he said something would always come up, some family obligation or his friends, or, you know, he was just maybe too tired after work or on the weekend to sit down and write. So he said, what if I give writing my very best time of the day? And what if I do it before anything else has the opportunity to come up and distract me? So he said, I can sacrifice 1 hour of sleep to get this book finished. And I kid you not, I was standing in a bookstore with him a few minutes ago, and I was like, well, did it work? And he was like, well, hold on. And he walked over to a shelf
No way.
Pulled his book off the shelf and handed it to me.
That's
and I had
awesome.
It was incredible. So he did. He got it done because he sacrificed 1 hour. And he said it was really tough at first. You know, personally, I have a hard time getting up in the morning and doing this. My brain just doesn't turn on right away. But he said it was hard at first. But once he got into the swing of it, he was able to do it.
Oh, that's
maybe
cool.
Maybe getting up early isn't your thing. Maybe it's at night. My partner, Andre, his brain works best at night. He's a night owl. So for him, he likes to set aside time at night. It's whatever works for you.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. And I was going to recommend the same thing. I mean, I have definitely done that in the past. What I tend to do now is more at night as well, but just discerning which one fits you better. There's a great book called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. I think that's a helpful one if you ever want to be productive in the morning. But it is said that we have not infinite amount of willpower. We have a finite amount of willpower, and it's starting at the beginning of the day. If we really want to get something done, that's likely our best chance. But again, it depends on, you know, how you're wired and when you like to work. But it could be easier to get started in the morning. And Elrod talks about how to build that routine there. But Jen, you said you didn't have any habits, but you do write every day. So how do you get that done? What enables you to write and create pieces that lots of people read on a regular basis? Because you got to have some kind of routines going there.
I mean, I'm lucky because I get to write and edit all day long and be creative as my quote unquote day job. Now, it wasn't always like that. I had to do it on nights and weekends for many, many years before I was able to turn it into this. I just get up, I make my coffee, I sit down, and I start working on whatever needs to be worked on at the moment. It really helps when there's deadlines hanging over your head.
Yeah. Well, I think Michael Hyatt said the greatest productivity secret is a deadline. And, you know, that's one of the best takeaways I got from Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Workweek. He was saying, you know, a deadline helps you get stuff done, but you don't have to wait for someone else to impose it. You can give yourself a deadline. And you move it up before when it actually is due, and you'll get more stuff done. You'll be more productive. But I mean, I say that's a habit, Jen. Do you always have your coffee before you get started?
I have to. My brain doesn't work without it.
So you've kind of, it sounds like you've set up your routine so that you get a cup of coffee, you sit down and you get started. I mean, that sounds like a solid habit. Sometimes something positive and rewarding like that can really trigger when you connect it to something you want to do, something good, like the work of writing. So I'd say if you can connect getting coffee and writing in the morning, that's a great way to do it. I think that's a really good habit. So kudos. I'd also recommend two other books in addition. One of them is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. Now, I haven't read that complete one, but I listened to a podcast and it was really helpful. And I also listened to The Power of Habit, which I thought was a great one as well. So Jen, have you heard of either of those?
No, I haven't, but those sound really good.
They're solid. And I really do think that if you want to get stuff done, building some solid habits, and really it starts with a commitment, it's going to help you to be more effective as a writer. So with that,
Do you have any habits that help you write or get creative stuff done?
Oh man. Yeah.
Other than the force of deadlines, like me?
No, I really.
The sheer force of missing a deadline.
Well, you know what? I love that. I love that you said that, because I think that's super helpful and we need those. So that's one thing. I'm always changing mine around because I'm kind of like a personal growth junkie. So I like to find new ways to do it. But I always set like a few goals each year, and then I think about how I can intentionally build the habit. So for me, it's come to like working on something on the weekend, and I'm often writing a script for like a podcast or for a video these days, just because of time constraints. But again, that happens on the weekend, I read a great article on limitations and how Dr. Seuss, or actually his name's Theodore Geisel officially, how he wrote his first children's book, The Cat in the Hat. The publisher challenged him to create a book with just, I think, like 50 words, maybe 250. And he said he'd pay him $50 if he did it. And with that constraint, he was able to create not only a great book, but a book that became like one of the bestsellers for kids. And the author of that article goes on to say, if we give ourselves constraints, it's amazing how we get creative in that time frame. So I'm learning in this stage of life that I have to be creative with whatever time I have. Now that I have two kids, like they go and take a nap, that's my time to write. I don't really have a choice. I just get in there. And I share that just to say, I guess that's my habit, Jen. I share that to say that no matter what's going on in your life, sometimes the limits can actually help you be more productive. You just kind of have to commit to doing it and connect it with something positive. And for me, it's just cool when I can get something out there that's helpful to someone else and create something original, because that's really intrinsically rewarding and motivating to me. So I don't know if that's the best explanation of a habit, but that's kind of what I'm doing in this phase.
No, I think that's really good. Over the years, my plate has gotten more and more full as my career has grown, and I've had to take something that I spent, 40 hours a week on and compress it so that I could add another thing, and then take those two things and compress them again so I could add another thing. And you always do find a way. Well, not always. Of course, there are limitations to that. But yeah, when you have limits imposed on you, sometimes it does help you actually get more done because you're focused.
Great thoughts. So we've talked a little bit about habits. The truth of the matter is that writing is work at times. What are some of the challenges introvert writers face, particularly as introverts?
It's definitely work at times. That's funny that you say that. I posted something on Facebook the other day about stopping my Netflix show and getting up off the couch and sitting down and writing and editing, even though it was a Sunday night, just because I felt like I had too much to do on Monday. So I was doing the, that like kind of introvert thing where I was just couldn't enjoy anything because I was thinking, this is going to happen and this has to happen and on and on. And so I posted a photo of myself doing that in, my hoodie and leggings, basically. And someone was like, but I thought introverts enjoyed writing. And I was like, they do, right? I do. But at the same time, it is still work. And there are challenges that come with being creative because it's brain power.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I would say there's a couple of different challenges that introverted writers might face. But the biggest one for me, and I don't know about you, Bo, is the challenge of perfectionism. We love writing. We have a lot of ideas, but we can also just find it extremely difficult to get those ideas out of our heads and get them onto paper. And that's true of me. I can't tell you how many times I've had an idea for a story or an essay I wanted to write, but, I just couldn't quite think of the right opening sentence or couldn't quite think of the way to structure it. So I just never ended up doing it.
Well, I appreciate that honesty. I have to stop you here and ask, how do you get yourself to work through the perfectionism? How do you push yourself to put something out there and work on it?
Yeah. So, we can get hung up on making things perfect. I'm actually going to steal a tip from Lauren Zappala, who's an introvert writing coach. We've had her on the podcast before.
Yeah.
I interviewed her a while back about this problem, and she said something to the effect of, it sounds basic, but just start. Just sit down and write something. Just write anything.
Yeah.
Instead of failing to make progress or continuing to change direction, which I have been guilty of so many times, I've sat down to write several books over my lifetime before I started writing Introvert Dear. I stopped every single one at one point because I kept changing directions so many times because it wasn't perfect in my head. Mm-hmm. Or I spent time rewriting sentences until I thought they were just right.
Yeah.
So she says, just sit down and do something. And that's certainly been true for me when I sit down and just sometimes I tell myself, like, just write a really bad article or, write a really bad story, or just write this in the most simplest terms that you can think of, don't try to come up with the right word. Just write the most basic third grade sentence you can think of. And then you can go back and work on it.
Oh, that's really comforting to know that even someone like you, Jen, still wrestles with that. And I think that's such great advice because our brain is wired. There's one side that's the creative side and the other side that's more detail oriented and that's going to evaluate and fix things. So just giving yourself the freedom to be sloppy and get your ideas on the paper and then maybe come back in another, swoop to try to fix it can kind of help us get through that block.
Absolutely. I mean, even the articles that go on Introvert Dear that I write go through many different iterations before they come out to be what they are published online. And that's because I start out writing something very basic, very simple, and then I build on it from there. And when I was writing The Secret Lives of Introverts, I did something similar.
How many revisions did that one go through?
Oh, I don't even know. I mean, I just have a folder on my computer with just like endless renaming, like start here, no, this one, beginning, no, take two, no. It was not a very organized revision process.
And that's comforting too. It doesn't have to be this perfect process. You kind of just engage with the mess and keep at it until it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say a lot of introverts, myself too, are kind of prone to what I like to call futurizing, which is when we leap ahead and try to plan too much about what something will be like or what should be like. And this can hurt us in our writing too, because we start thinking, you know, we start futurizing about our work, like, oh, it's going to turn out like this. And, you know, people are going to say this about it. And this is what's going to happen next. And it almost seems like we're working on it then, but we're not actually working on it, right? Because we're just kind of thinking about it in our minds. Another tip from Lauren, she told me, just imagine that you're going to put your writing in a locked box. So nobody has to see it. Nobody's going to critique you. And if that can kind of help break you out of your perfectionism, just to get something written, just, you know, not planning too much ahead about it, then, just imagine it as being no one else is going to see it. Obviously, I hope somebody else will see it eventually, but they will see it when you're ready for them to see it.
No, that's a great tip. I kind of think of like fretting about what people will think is like leaving your phone on. Like your phone's not doing anything, but you're killing the battery. It's kind of what's happening to anybody who's thinking about what others are going to say about their writing, but spinning their wheels at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Beau? Are there challenges that you faced when you're writing or doing something creative?
Yeah, I think just the challenge of interruptions. There are lots of other things that come up, and guarding the time that you need to spend to write, that's a challenge. And part of that, I think, is being disciplined enough to like get to bed so that you can get the rest you need and make sure that you're ready to go, especially if you're trying to do another job as well. But just, I think that challenge of like not always feeling like it. You already mentioned that, you know, being there in your sweats and your leggings. Now, the thing about that is like, I love to write in the end and it is enjoyable. And I guess I've heard someone say, none of us like writing, but we all like having written. I think that's true. So just holding on to that excitement and thinking about the positive experiences that have come and getting to pour yourself into something you care about. All those things go together to keep me moving forward. So in the end, I'd say the overall, you know, equation comes out to being positive, but there are many times that I don't feel like it. But when I show up, I'm always thankful that I worked at it again because I'm getting better along the way. And I think that's part of the joy, just seeing how I'm growing as a writer and sticking to it helps me do that.
I like that advice a lot. I was writing a blog post last week that I didn't feel like writing it, to be completely honest. I would rather have been laying in bed or doing something else, you know? But I reminded myself that I'm really happy when I do finish something. Mm. So, you know, I find with writing or even like something like working out at the gym or running an errand to the grocery store, something like that, that I don't want to do. It helps me to remind myself of how I'll feel afterwards when I have that thing accomplished.
Hey, well, way to spin futurizing in a positive light. It seems like you're thinking ahead to what could be and futurizing in a good way. So that seems like the right way to go about it.
True.
Are there any other challenges that come to mind that introvert writers face? No, no is an okay answer. I was just checking.
You know, personally, something that I struggle with is just sitting down, and sometimes you don't feel like you have something to write about. You know, sometimes the idea tank runs out, and that might sound funny to say as an introvert, because don't we always have ideas? Aren't we always in our heads?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we do, but eventually those ideas run out. So I think sometimes it's about knowing a balance between sitting down and forcing yourself to write something or going out and living a little bit. And, you know, I don't mean like living it up, like party like an extrovert or something.
Yeah.
But just going out and doing something else, because when I find that I'm out and about doing something or experiencing something new, rather than sitting at my computer, then new ideas bubble up.
Oh, I love that. I love that you shared this tip and this challenge, because it's so true, especially when you're writing on a regular basis. And there are also other tricks, like if you're blogging, for instance, just learning about keywords and finding the right keywords with a search tool. I mean, honestly, you don't even need a keyword search tool. If you've never heard of that before, you can go to Google and start typing a phrase related to what you want to write about. And then Google is going to auto-suggest what people are looking for. And you can write about that particular topic and do some research. So there are definitely tricks and tips for getting through writer's block if you're not sure what to write about. So Jen, we talked a lot about the challenges, and you've mentioned some really good ones Now I would like to shift to the journey of becoming a professional writer. Does it happen overnight for most folks, or what does it look like? Can you describe it?
No, it definitely doesn't happen overnight. And it looks different for everyone. But just briefly, what happened for me was I got a writing degree. I worked at a newspaper for a few years. And ultimately, I didn't feel like I was doing the kind of writing I wanted to do, but I didn't know what that was. I tried writing in a lot of different ways. I tried writing children's books. I tried writing essays. I tried writing other things. And I was kind of on the brink of just wanting to give up. And I decided to just start a blog just for the fun of it, because I've been learning about introversion and it was a topic that fascinated me. So I started writing Introvert Dear anonymously because, you know, it was just supposed to be this kind of little fun experiment. And, you know, lo and behold, it grew into what it is today. I would never have been able to predict that. And of course, that eventually led to my book deal and getting to write for other publications like The Huffington Post or Susan Cain's Quiet Revolution and quite a few others. So no, it definitely doesn't happen overnight. In fact, it took, I guess you could say over a decade for me.
I appreciate that answer. And one thing that just hearing you say that and share that story is helpful to hear is that you kept trying things. You didn't give up. You wrote because you wanted to write. And then eventually you just wrote something for yourself for fun, and it was something you enjoyed, and that's what took off. That's really encouraging to hear. How do people make money writing?
Oh, that's a good one. And that's a tough one. So I make money from my blog. So one route to go is blogging. My partner Andre does freelance copywriting for the internet. So he writes SEO pages for various clients, and he's paid through that. You get paid if you publish a book. Some magazines, some other publications will pay on a freelance basis. And then obviously, if you have a 9-to-5 gig writing somewhere, you can make money that way too.
So there's really a host of ways. And, I've gotten to know a number of bloggers, and I've seen a lot of them making money through different revenue streams, such as like writing a self-published book, which is a little different than a professionally published book, or through doing coaching related to their writing. Really, their writing brings people in, and then they coach people through their expertise or in whatever skill that person wants to work on. They've created courses. They might have a membership site. They could sell merchandise. So there's a bunch of different ways. You could even do something like, this is something that kind of blew my mind initially, but even something like affiliate marketing, there are lots of other products related to the topic you could write about that other people have already created. And if you've vetted them and you think they're good, you could promote them to people who read your content and hopefully help them out with a product that they enjoy. And in the process, at no extra cost to them, you can also earn a small commission, and it adds up over time. So there really are a number of ways to make money writing, but you can go at it different avenues, like you've already mentioned, Jen.
Yeah, the internet is really a writer's haven. You know, I mean, the book industry is changing a lot these days. Advances are getting smaller, and there's fewer and fewer publishers that will give you the kind of advance or the money from a book that is really sustainable. But the internet really fills in that gap, I feel, by allowing writers to put their content out there directly and then monetize it in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a cool time to be alive if you're an introvert who's considering writing.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of talk about platforms these days, speaking about writing on the internet. Can you tell us what they are and how important they are for writers?
So just briefly, your platform is what your audience is or how many people you can reach. And I can tell you, you know, kind of sadly, it is very important if you're trying to get some sort of book deal. I was actually, I've had some meetings with some agents lately because I'm hoping to write a highly sensitive person book in the future. And one thing they kept telling me over and over is, focus on your platform. Focus on building your platform right now. And, you know, to my horror, it was focus on your platform more so than research your book or think about what you want to write for your book, which hurts my writer's heart a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that's not how we want to think about writing. But I can tell you it is important for publishers. They want to see that you have a certain number of people who are on your email list or who follow you on social media, or just that, you know, your website or your social media profiles reach. That said, it's not the end of the world if you don't have a platform built. It's certainly something you can do, and there are certainly exceptions to that rule too. But I would say it is a pretty big thing in this day and age that publishers are looking for that platform. Of course, you don't have to go the traditional publishing route, but if that's what you're looking for, then yeah, they'll look for that platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I heard recently from, relatively recently, from Chad R. Allen, who is now blogging for himself. He used to be an acquisitions editor for Baker Books, and he would get new authors to write. And he was saying that if you have like, I know this sounds like a lot, but it can be very doable. If you have like 8 to 10,000, I think he even said like 5,000 email subscribers, the editors or the people who might give you a book contract will be much more open to giving you one than if you come and you have a great idea and it's well laid out and everything, but you don't have anyone who might be interested in reading it, because marketing is such a big deal. So it really is a good investment of time to just write. And I think the blog is a good way to start, because you're practicing on a regular basis. You're getting your work out there for other people to see. And you could at the same time kind of build an email list to build that platform.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it hurts to say it, but the publishing industry is an industry, and they're there because they're a business. And so they're looking for someone who they think will be able to sell books. That was a hard reality for me to swallow as, you know, a writer who dreamed of being a writer when I was a little girl and changing people's lives and putting stories and words in their head. It kind of takes some of the beauty away from it. But yeah, there is definitely a practical side to it too.
Yeah. And you're right about that. Sometimes reality stinks.
The hard reality. Yeah.
But it's also kind of cool too at the same time that if you can build an audience over time, it'll open a lot more opportunities for you than maybe you'd have just going with the contract. You can go with a little bit more confidence. What are some misconceptions about writing that people have? Because, you know, if they're like me, I always have some kind of misconception. So would you dispel some of the writing misconceptions that are floating around?
Well, I have two in mind, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier in this episode. I think the biggest misconceptions are that people think you have to have this supernatural talent and also this incredible inspiration to be a writer. And yes, those things are helpful and very important. And of course, I would love to have both talent and inspiration at every moment of the day in every word I write, just dripping from every word I write. But really, it is just a lot about hard work and showing up, sitting down, whether it's getting up early every morning to write for an hour before your day job, or me getting up, making my coffee and going, all right, what deadlines do we need to meet today? But it's about getting up and doing that hard work, because it can feel like work some days.
Yeah. And what's that quote about like 50% inspiration and like 100% perspiration or something? Like, yeah. it comes down.
It's very true.
And when you show up, even when you don't have the inspiration, it's funny how the inspiration does eventually come.
Yeah.
So what was the other misconception? You probably just named it and I wasn't doing a good job
talent
listening.
And inspiration.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Both together.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what a good writer would do, you know, maybe spin the way that she presents it. So well done.
Finding a way to say it shorter. How about that?
Oh, succinct. I love it. or as my professor would say, parsimonious. But I always thought about that word and I was like, you know, that word isn't very parsimonious. Like, why don't you just say succinct? Moving on. What are the first steps you'd recommend to, you know, our listener today who might be thinking about becoming a writer? What's the best way to get started?
Well, like I said, I think you first need to identify what type of writing you want to do. And maybe this goes back to my own personal journey and why I'm naming it as the first step. But for many, many years, I didn't know what kind of writing I wanted to do. I wrote in every direction, trying to find what it was I wanted to write about. So there are a lot of differences between blogging and publishing a children's book or having a feature piece in a magazine, or whatever, or writing poetry, whatever your writing might be. There are different steps you would take to go about writing for each one of those things. So I would say, if you don't know what you want to write about, identify that. Do you want to write romance novels? Do you want to write really good captions on an Instagram account, a beautiful Instagram account? Because I count that as writing too. There's some great writing on Instagram and social media too. So figure out what you're interested in. And again, you might need to write in a lot of directions first to figure out what that is. And of course, once you figured it out, it's okay if it changes. I mean, mine is evolving over these years too. But identify one area you want to move forward in as a writer.
Yeah, that's great advice. What are a few books that might be helpful along the journey?
So I don't have any like writer's manuals books, but I would say read books in the type of genre that you want to be writing in.
Good advice.
So if you want to be blogging, read a bunch of blogs. If you want to be writing thriller novels, read a bunch of thrillers. If you want to be writing romance novels, read a bunch of romance or whatever it is it might be. Read a lot of books that you want, the kind of stuff that you want to be writing yourself.
Oh, very cool. I have a couple of recommendations. I found Anne Hadley's Everybody Writes to be helpful. It gets good reviews on Amazon. So I bought it and I really enjoyed it. I think she has some good things to say about writing in our day and age. And I think she has a lot of social media experience, if I remember correctly. And then a nice guide to have is The Elements of Style by Strunk and White.
Oh, yes.
You might recommend E.B. White or recognize E.B. White, rather, from Charlotte's Web, that classic children's book. But he had a great input into just making your writing easy to read and interesting and well written, well punctuated, whatever else needs to go into the grammar. He has a lot of good things to say. I know a lot of people have read On Writing and, why am I drawing a blank? Do you know?
That's a good one.
Who's the author of that? Why can I not think of his name?
I'm forgetting it. It's on my bookshelf, like 5 feet away from me.
But
I've read that a few times.
Oh, okay. Then I need to get that one then. But when you see his name, you'll realize he's read or written like a million books. You don't know who he is right away. But those are some I'd recommend for sure. So, go ahead.
Strunk and White. That was back in my writing major. They practically threw that at the door the minute we walked in.
Oh, yeah. I think I did have
at us. I mean, the minute we walked in.
Oh, okay. I think I did get one from college or like my professor recommended it and I picked it up, but I really enjoy it. It's a really small book, but it's just a helpful style guide. So bringing things to a conclusion and really trying to make this nitty gritty. If you had to recommend one thing for our listener to try in the next 2 weeks, what might that be, Jen?
So I'm going to tie it back to the first steps to being an introvert who wants to write. And I would say, sit down and write about something that you're interested in. Maybe it's a blog. Maybe it's a science fiction short story. But whatever it is that you like to read, often that's the kind of thing that writers like to write about. They're drawn to types of writing that they already enjoy. So think about what you sit down and read when you have a few minutes to yourself at the end of the day. Do you read something online? Do you pick something off your bookshelf? What do you read? And sit down and try writing something along those lines.
Yeah, great advice. Writers are readers and readers are writers.
Absolutely.
Jen, thanks for sharing all these great insights. I think it's a great start for anyone getting into writing. And it's been fun connecting with you during this time.
Yeah, thanks, Bo. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Introvert Dear podcast. Make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on future episodes. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. And remember, there's nothing wrong with being quiet and spending time alone.